Live from the American Gulf Coast, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
As I mentioned a few times already this morning, Bridget Blitch is going to be joining us from Taylor & Associates, Attorneys at Law. Bridget is in Winter Haven, Florida. And we're going to talk about something kind of beyond the nuts and bolts, I guess, of what to do when you get a citation for whatever reason. And go right to the bigger picture, how to protect your livelihood. So if you're a driver, or if you are driving a desk in an office someplace as a motor carrier executive, Bridget's going to kind of lay out some things that you need to know when a traffic citation is issued. And we'll get rolling here in just a moment.
Take it. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand and take it easy.
There is a better way to keep in touch with the rest of the world when you're out in the middle of nowhere. WeBoost has created a cell phone signal booster that can increase your cell and data signals by up to 32 times. Made exclusively for pro drivers, the Drive 4GX OTR will help you ditch dead zones and dropped calls. WeBoost works with all carriers and cellular devices, and there are no recurring fees. Visit WeBoost.com/OTR today to hear what you've been missing.
The mission of the St. Christopher Fund is to help professional drivers and their families who have financial needs due to medical problems. Assistance may be in the form of direct payment for medical services or prescription drugs, assistance with expenses while recovering, or negotiating price reductions with medical providers and hospitals. If you or someone you know is in need of help due to an illness, or perhaps if you would like to make a donation, go to DaveNemo.com and click on the St. Christopher Fund.
Well, let us welcome once again Bridget Blitch to the program with Taylor & Associates down in Florida. Bridget, good morning, and hey, welcome to February.
Well, good morning to you too, Dave, and it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
You know, that's a pretty big mouthful, those three words right there, because it kind of gets to the heart of the matter in terms of the responsibilities and the requirements for someone who is a commercial driver with a CDL practicing interstate commerce, protecting your livelihood. And I don't know if a lot of folks realize how far down that road they can wind up.
Well, exactly, Dave, and this is one that is very important that I wanted to share with our audience, because it's one that I encounter, and there are unfortunately traps for the unwary that can result in the loss of a driver's, a commercial driver's license, and that loss almost always has a devastating impact to the driver. So what I want to do today, Dave, is to share with you some of my insights and some things that maybe a driver might not think is consequential does have a serious impact on his or her license. So my plan is to, I'm going to go through what the federal regulations provide in terms of disqualification. But then I'm also going to kind of give some background to that to put it in context for our drivers. So I thought that this would be a good way to segue from our previous segment where we talked about the data key challenge, and that was another form of protecting the driver's livelihood because they're protecting their motor vehicle record. It's important to take note of the consequences that result when a traffic violation is issued. And there are state-specific consequences as well as federal regulations that have to be considered. And so one thing that the driver may find in receiving the traffic violation is, well, there's an automatic reduction of fines if the penalty is paid, and the cost to either get to the jurisdiction to appear before a court proceeding or to retain counsel does not really, in the driver's mind, seem to justify the cost of the violation. So that one is one consideration, that just because the monetary cost may be less doesn't mean that the overarching consequence of paying that citation is going to actually be beneficial for the driver. Then there's also considerations to take into account if you do take on and try to plead out the case with the prosecutor, considerations to take into account on what the what would be an appropriate plea. So oftentimes with respect to drivers that or counsel that go and negotiate a plea bargain, a lot of times what the prosecutors are looking for is, you know, the number of points. They may not know the consequences of that violation, and I'll get to an example here in a minute, but oftentimes what we'll do is we'll educate that prosecutor and allow them to say, do you understand the consequences of what this violation is going to do if it goes on the driver's record, and it may compromise the driver's ability to earn a living. So sometimes it's just a matter of education to the prosecutor's office that we get involved in from time to time.
Boy, I'll bet that kind of sends a chill down the spines of a lot of folks listening. In other words, wait a minute. You got to educate who about what?
Well, that's true. And I find that is often, even with judges who don't know the industry, and it's a matter of just informing them about the Department of Transportation regulations. And it's, as you know, Dave, it's a different world out here, and it's even though we are deregulated, in one sense, we are actually very much regulated in another.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that's a lot for the drivers to know, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because the drivers may not be thinking about what is the consequence of this violation, because they're focused on driving safely down the road, meeting their delivery requirements, and being safe. And so there is a lot that goes on in a driver's mind that has, you know, nothing to do apart from the legal side of it. So I wanted just to share with our viewers some of the legal aspect of it. If anything, just to take a healthy pause the next time a traffic violation does occur, and to think about, well, wait a minute, how do I want to approach this situation?
I just want to interject maybe something to see if I'm thinking in correct terms here. When it comes to going to court and fighting a first off, you don't know whether you should just go ahead and pay that ticket because of all the reasons you laid out, the logistics, the ability to get there, things like that. But if you wind up in court, there is black and white. But you're not dealing in black and white here. You're really dealing in all these shades of gray, where it becomes, it's called plea bargaining. And when you bargain, you negotiate. So you need a good negotiator in there to kind of come up with something that, you know, even if you're guilty, doesn't kill you, so to speak. So there's a lot of fine points and a lot of finessing, I guess, that needs to be done.
Yeah, and, a lot of what we'll do is drivers will participate in programs where they'll pay into a clinic or a firm that will cover their traffic citations because it's more cost effective, and that attorney will go in and negotiate on behalf of the driver. But my recommendation is always to have qualified transportation counsel to make sure that counsel is considering the collateral consequences, and they're not just looking at the citation itself. So that's one thing that will happen. The other is just that maybe the motor carrier that employs or allows the driver to operate under their authority may engage counsel for the benefit of the driver. I've been involved in situations where motor carrier companies have hired me because one of their employee drivers received a citation. And so talking earlier in your program, you talked about the charitable and the outreach that motor carriers do, and I absolutely find that's true. In my experience with the motor carriers reaching out and saying, we value our drivers, we want to make sure you're protected and that we're considering the ramifications of the citation. So we've obtained counsel. Obviously, the attorney-client relationship is with the attorney that's handling the citation, so we're looking out for the driver's interests in that regard. So my best practice is to obtain that qualified counsel, local counsel that's familiar with this area of the law that can protect the driver and consider the their livelihood as they go about their representation.
Got it. Well, I kind of sidetracked things, so we'll get right back on to the points because you have a lot of important things. So we're kind of getting into the area of disqualification now.
Yes. So under the regulations, there's categories that result in disqualification, and I'm going to go through some of these. But the categories are major disqualifying offenses, serious traffic violations, railroad highway grade crossing offenses, violations of out-of-service orders, and then violations where there is an imminent hazard. So those are five categories that, if we have time, we'll go through these areas where a disqualification can occur. So the I'm going to start with the major disqualifying offenses. And that includes being under the influence of alcohol as prohibited by state law, being under the influence of a controlled substance, having an alcohol concentration of 0.04 or greater while operating a commercial vehicle, refusing to take an alcohol test as required by state law, leaving the scene of an accident, using a commercial motor vehicle to commit a felony, driving a commercial vehicle when as a result of a prior violation committed operating a commercial vehicle, the driver's CDL is revoked, suspended, or canceled, or the driver is disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle, and using the vehicle in the commission of a felony involving manufacturing, distributing, or dispensing or controlled substance. So I know that was a lot of information in the category of what constitutes a major offense. But let's take an example. Let's say we're sitting, Dave, you and I, and we're having coffee, and it's a busy shopping center. There's trucks that are coming into the shopping center, and it's a congested parking lot, so there's not a lot of space for the driver to maneuver. And we see the driver cut a corner. And cutting that corner, the driver takes out some really pretty rose bed and some greenery, and it looks like part of a branch breaks off because the trailer hits the branch. Dave, in your mind, does that cause you any concern for what we just saw?
Well, you're talking rose bushes. You're talking private property. I don't know if that plays into it. So I would probably say that wouldn't be something that you would be disqualified for. But I think you set me up on that because I know what you're going to say.
Well, you know, that's why I mentioned I opened up with, well, there's some traps out there. So, you know, we don't necessarily think too much of it, and the driver goes about, you know, we watch the driver move on. And as far as we know, it looks like the driver wasn't even aware. Maybe just thought there was a curb check, but nothing more substantial than that. Next thing you know, we see an officer pull the driver over, and the officer's talking to the driver. Well, later we come to find out that that driver was issued a ticket for leaving the scene of an accident. And that is a major offense. One would not think necessarily that running over something that is landscaping would constitute an accident. And the driver in our scenario here, let's say the driver says, you know, gosh, well, that wasn't very significant. Then maybe the cost to replace the roses and the tree is still fine. So, you know, maybe $100, couple hundred dollars at most. You know, it just makes sense for me to, you know, pay that so they can fix the greenery, and I'll just continue going on. So the driver then pays the penalty to thinks, okay, well, you know, I paid for it. I should be able to continue on about my work, except that the next thing that happens is that the driver's license is suspended for a year, because that is a major disqualifying offense. And so
so it ain't about the roses at this point.
It's not about the roses. No. Being convicted of a first time of these major offenses can result in an automatic loss of the commercial driver's license for a year. If there are hazardous materials in that vehicle, the penalty could increase from 1 year to 3 years. And then on top of that, if there were, let's say, this was a second conviction of a major offense, could result in a lifetime loss of a commercial driver's license.
He should have stopped and smelled those roses instead, huh?
That's right, Dave. So what happens next? Well, let's say that driver retains counsel. What needs to happen? Well, obviously we've got to make sure that driver has his license reinstated. And it's, you know, just by way of example, reach out to the prosecutor's office, advise them of the situation, file a motion with the court to vacate the adjudication, the entry of the guilty plea, and talk to the prosecutors. We talked about educating the prosecutor's office. Well, whatever wrong there was has been righted by the payment of the penalty, but the collateral consequence of this particular violation is that we need to reinstate the commercial driver's license so that the driver can get back on the road. And from there, also, you have to think about, well, even the court vacates the guilty plea, accepts the penalty of the fine, then you have to go through the process of reinstating the commercial driver's license. So there's a lot of downtime associated when that happens to get through and have the various Department of Motor Vehicles agencies talk to one another, receive the court papers showing that the license was reinstated such that the driver can get back on the road.
Wow. That's an amazing amount of red tape too, isn't it? I mean, that's basically what you're pointing out. It's not just as simple as say, okay, you're good to go. You got to go through all of the hoops in terms of getting your paperwork lined up. You have to wait and make all of the right steps. That's pretty serious. That's almost, you know, that's sort of like the mountain being made out of that molehill. And if he had stopped and notified management or something, hey, you know what, I didn't even realize what I hit the... But boy, you know, when you don't even realize it happened, that there's a hint of the possibility of some real unfairness there, isn't there? Because it can happen that you wouldn't know.
Well, certainly. It absolutely could, something like that. And it wouldn't be in the forefront of a driver's mind that something like that could even happen. So that's why we have to look at every situation. If that occurs or something like that occurs or any violation, to just take a moment to consider what are the consequences of that. And, you know, we can make legal arguments about whether or not that wasn't, you know, an accident because it wasn't a DOT reportable accident as defined by the statute. But then we'd have to look at what the state law says, because a lot of state laws incorporate the federal regulations. Like in Florida, the disqualification of drivers is consistent with the federal regulations. So it certainly opens up a lot of issues. So if the driver isn't aware that something happened, that there was damage, property damage, or that they bumped another car, whatever the case may be, we just have to deal with the information as it comes.
You know, I was going to bring up the question about whether that was even a reportable accident to FMCSA, and as you just pointed out, it's not. So just because it's not a reportable accident doesn't mean that somebody's not going to take it really seriously.
Well, right. And the thing that we'll look at is if it's not a DOT reportable accident, is that a basis to challenge the violation to begin with? So maybe there shouldn't have been any citation issued in the first place. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, there's another offense that the prosecutor might come up with, you know, destruction of property, that they would consider as an alternative if they were insisting upon some violation. But, you have to look at, is there even merit to the violation that was issued?
So there are several different avenues that you can actually go down depending on the situation at the time that may or may not seem obvious to even the driver, him or herself.
Exactly right, yes. And so that's why I say there's so much to think about when these instances occur. And then the other consideration is what happens if there is a major offense that results from a commercial driver's conduct while driving a non-commercial motor vehicle. And that's another thing to consider. So what happens if there is a violation and you're representing a driver, but he wasn't using a commercial motor vehicle, but nonetheless it's a major offense. So we have to consider what are the consequences if he gets convicted of that major offense using a non-commercial motor vehicle.
You know, Bridget, I think we're just about out of time, unfortunately, here this morning. But I'm thinking that in all of my, and I'm certainly not a lawyer, and I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn last night either. So I don't know a lot of things that come up on the program. But that personal vehicle issue is probably one of the most misunderstood / confusing issues in trucking. And maybe you kind of just gave us a good idea for next month's program. Maybe you could start with talking where we kind of left off just now and going into that personal vehicle issue and the liabilities that CDL holders entail.
Absolutely, Dave. It would be my pleasure. Like I said, there's a lot to cover. We could probably have a class on it.
Well, I think we just did, Bridget. I think I sure learned a lot, that's for sure. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Enjoy the short month of February, and we'll see you first part of March.
Thank you, Dave, and take care.
Bridget Blitch, everyone, and Bridget, of course, is an associate with Taylor and Associates down in Winter Haven, Florida, protecting your livelihood, what drivers and motor carriers need to know when a traffic citation is issued. So we all know already. what our next episode will be. She'll switch over and go to the four wheels and talk about what happens when a driver gets into a problem in that private personal vehicle. How does that affect your CDL? Bridget Blitch with Taylor & Associates. Well, we're going to break for news and weather here, and we'll be back on the other side.